So, I was reading this story to you earlier this evening. Yes, sorry to bulldoze right through your fourth wall, but I do read the stories first and these introductions after, because I'm not really clever enough to introduce something if I don't know what it is. Anyhow, so I was reading this story to you earlier this evening, just a little bit early, not yesterday or anything, and I thought that it's either kind of gruesome, this one, or kind of funny. And of course the two aren't mutually incompatible, but it seemed worth noting, because sometimes I read a gruesome story and be barraged with emails that say, "Hey, that's gruesome, yet. Gruesome, yet makes my ears bleed." Well, consider yourself heard, and consider this an ear-bleed-free, gruesome-slash-funny type of story. It's Monday, the 16th of January, 2007, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Deal by Leonard Michaels. 20 were jammed together on the stoop. Tiers of heads made one central head, and the wings rested along the banisters. A raggedy monster of boys studying her approach. Her white face and legs. She passed without looking, poked her sunglasses against the bridge of her nose, and tucked her bag between her arms and ribs. She carried it at her hip, like a rifle stock. On her spine, 40 eyes hung like poison berries. Bone dissolved beneath her lank beige silk, and the damp circle of her belt cut her in half. Independent legs struck toward the points of her shoes. Her breasts lifted and rode the air like porpoises. She would cross to the grocery as usual, buy cigarettes, then cross back, despite their eyes. As if the neighbourhood hadn't changed one bit. She slipped the bag forward to crack it against her belly and pluck out keys and change. In the gesture, she was home from work. Her keys jangled in the sun, as if they opened everything, and the air received her. The monster, watching, saw the glove fall away. Pigeons looped down to whirl between buildings, and a ten-wheel truck came slowly up the street. As it passed, she emerged from the grocery, then stood at the curb opposite the faces. She glanced along the street where she had crossed it. No glove. Tar reticulated between the cobbles. A braid of murky water ran against the curb, twisting bits of flotsam toward the drain. She took off her sunglasses, dropped them with her keys into her bag, then stepped off the curb towards the faces. Addressing them with a high, friendly voice, she said, "Did you guys see a glove? I dropped it a moment ago." The small ones squinted up at her from the bottom step. On the middle steps sat boys 14 or 15 years old. The oldest ones made the wings. Dandies and introverts they sprawled, as if with a common corruption in their bones. In the centre, his eyes level with hers, a boy waited for her attention in the matter of gloves. To his right sat a very thin boy with a pocked face. A narrow-brimmed hat tipped toward his nose and shaded the continuous activity of his eyes. She spoke to the green eyes of the boy in the centre, and held up the glove she had. "Like this?" Teeth appeared below the hat, then everywhere, as the boys laughed. "Did she hold up a fish?" Green eyes said, "Hello, Miss Khalil." She looked around at the faces, then laughed with them at her surprise. "You know my name?" "I see it on the mailbox," said the hat. "He can't read, I see it." "My name is Duke Francisco," said the illiterate. "My name's Abby Carlyle," she said to him. The heart smirked. "His name Francisco Lopez." Green Eyes turned to the hat. "Shut your mouth, baby. I can tell her my name, not you." "His name Francisco Lopez," the hat repeated. She saw pox and teeth, the thin oily face and the hat, as he spoke again, nicely, to her. "My name, Francisco Pachero, the prince. I seen your name on the mailbox." "Did either of you?" "You name is shit," said Green Eyes, to the hat. "My name is Tito." A small one at the bottom step looked up for the effect of his name. She glanced down at him. "I'm Tito," he said. "Did you see my glove, Tito?" "This is Tomato," he answered, unable to bear her attention. He nudged the boy to his left. Tomato nudged back, stared at the ground. "I'm happy to know you, Tito," she said. "And you, Tomato, both of you." She looked back up to Green Eyes and the hat. The hat acknowledged her courtesy. He tilted back to show her his eyes, narrow and black except for bits of white reflected in the corners. His face was thin, high-boned, and fragile. She pitied the riddled skin. "This guy," he said, pointing his thumb to the right, "is Monkey. And then to the left, beyond Green Eyes. And this guy is Beans." She nodded to the hat, then Monkey, then Beans, measuring the respect she offered, doling it out in split seconds. Only one of them had the glove. "Well, did any of you guys see my glove?" Every tear grew still like birds in a tree waiting for a sign that would move them all at once. Tito's small dark head snapped forward. She heard the slap an instant late. The boy lurched after the head and pitched off the stoop at her feet. She saw Green Eyes sitting back slowly. Tito gaped up at her from the concrete. A sacrifice to the lady. She stepped back as if rejecting it and frowned at Green Eyes. He gazed indifferently at Tito, who was up, facing him with coffee bean fists. Tito screamed. "I tell her you got it, dickhead!" The Green Eyes swelled in themselves like a light blooming in the ocean. Tito's fists opened. He turned, folded quickly, and sat back into the mass. He began to rub his knees. "May I have my glove, Francisco?" Her voice was still pleasant and high. She now held her purse in the crook of her arm and pressed it against her side. Some fop had a thought and giggled in the wings. She glanced up at him immediately. He produced a toothpick. With great delicacy, he stuck it into his ear. She looked away. Green Eyes again waited for her. A cup of darkness formed in the hollow that crowned his chest bone. His soiled, grey polo shirt hooked below it. "You think I have your glove?" She didn't answer. He stared between his knees, between heads and shoulders, to the top of Tito's head. "Hey, Tito, you tell her I got the glove?" "I didn't tell nothing," muttered Tito, rubbing his knees harder as if they were still bitter from his fall. "He's full of shit, Miss Khalil. I'll break his head later. What kind of glove you want?" "This kind," she said wearily. "A white glove like this."
"Too hot?" he grinned.
"Yes, too hot, but I need it."
"What for? Too hot?"
He gave a full green concern.
"It's much too hot, but the glove is mine, mister."
She rested her weight on one leg and wiped her brow with the glove she had. They watched her do it, the smallest of them watched her, and she moved the glove slowly to her brow again and drew it down her cheek and neck. She could think of nothing to say, nothing to do, without expressing impatience. Green Eyes changed the subject.
"You live there?"
He pointed toward her building. "That's right." A wooden front door with a window in it showed part of the shadowy lobby, mailboxes, and a second door. Beyond her building and down the next street were warehouses. Beyond them the river. A meat truck started towards them from a packing house near the river. It came slowly, bug-eyed with power. The driver saw the lady standing in front of the boys. He yelled at the truck, went past. Gears yowled, twisting the sound of his voice. She let her strength out abruptly.
"Give me the glove, Francisco!"
The boy shook his head at the truck, at her lack of civilization.
"What you give me?" That tickled the hat. "Vaya, baby, what she give you, eh?" He spoke fast, his tone decorous and filthy.
"All right, baby," she said, fast as the hat. "What do you want?" The question had New York and much man in it. The hat swiveled to the new sound. A man of honour let him understand the terms. He squinted at her beneath the hat brim. "Come on, Francisco, make your deal." She presented brave, beautiful teeth, smiling hard as a skull.
"Tell the Duke, make the deal."
The hat lingered on deal, grateful to the lady for this word. The sun shone in his face, and the acknowledged Duke sat dull, green eyes blank with possibilities. Her question, not deal, held him. It had come too hard, too fast. He laughed in contempt of something and glanced around at the wings. They offered nothing.
"I want a dollar," he said.
That seemed obvious to the hat. He sneered.
"He wants a dollar."
She had to be stupid not to see it. "No deal. 25 cents. Her gloves were worth $20. She had paid 10 for them at a sale. At the moment, they were worth Green Eyes' life.
"I want $10,
said Green Eyes, flashing the words like extravagant, meaningless things, gloves of his own. He lifted his arms, clasped his hands behind his head, and leaned against the knees behind him. His belly filled with air, the polo shirt rolled out on its curve. He made a fat man doing business.
$10!
10 fingers popped up behind his head like grimy spikes. Keeper of the glove, cocky Duke of the Stoop. That number made him happy. It bothered her. He drummed the spikes against his head.
"I want you $10.
Beams caught the beat in his hips and rocked it on the stoop.
"Francisco," she said,
hesitated, then said,
"Dig me, please.
You will get 25 cents. Now, let's have the glove." Her bag snapped open, her fingers hooked, stiffened on the clasp. Monkey leered at her and bungoed his knees with his fists. "The number is $10." She waited, but said nothing. The spikes continued drumming, Monkey rocked his hips, Beans pummeled his knees, the hat sang sadly. 25, not a number, not a number, not a number. He made claves of his fingers and palms, tucked, clicked his tongue against the beat. 25, not a number. She watched Green Eyes. He was quiet now, in the centre of the stoop, sitting motionless, waiting, as though seconds back in time, his mind still touched the question, what did he want? He seemed to wonder, now that he had the formula, what did he want? The faces around him, dopey in the music, wondered nothing, grinned at her, nodded, clicked, whined the chorus. 25, not a number, 25, not a number. Her silk blouse stained and stuck flat to her breasts and shoulders. Water chilled her sides. $10 is the number. She spread her feet slightly, taking better possession of the sidewalk and resting on them evenly, the bag held open for Green Eyes. She could see he didn't want that, but she insisted in her silence he did. Tito spread his little feet and lined the points of his shoes against hers. Tomato noticed the imitation and cackled at the concrete. The music went on, the beat feeding on itself, pulverizing words, smearing them into liquid submission. Is the number 25? That is not the number. 25 cents, she said again. Tito whined, give me 25 cents. Shut your mouth, said the hat, and turned a grim face to his friend. In the darkness of his eyes there were deals. The music ceased. Hey, baby, you got no manners? Tell me what you want. He spoke in a dreamy voice, as if to a girl. I want a kiss, said Green Eyes. She glanced down with this at Tito and studied the small shining head. Tell him to give me my glove, Tito, she said cutely, nervously. The wings shuffled and looked down, bored. Nothing was happening. Twisting backwards, Tito shouted up to Green Eyes, give her the glove! He twisted front again and crouched over his knees. He shoved Tomato for approval and smiled. Tomato shoved him back, snarled at the concrete, and spit between his feet at a face which had taken shape in the grains. I want a kiss, said the boy again. She sighed, giving another second to helplessness. The sun was low above the river, and the street three-quarters steeped in shade. Sunlight cut across the building tops where pigeons swept by loosely and fluttered in to pack the stone foliage of the eaves. Her bag snapped shut. Her voice was business. Come on, Francisco, I'll give you the kiss. He looked shot among the faces. Come on, she said, it's a deal. The hat laughed out loud with childish insanity. The others shrieked and jiggled except for the wings. But they ceased to sprawl and seemed to be getting bigger, to fill with imminent motion. Give me a kiss, give me a kiss, give me a kiss, give me a kiss, said the little ones on the lowest step. Green Eyes sat with a quiet,
open mouth. "Let's go," she said. "I haven't all day."
"Where I go?"
"The doorway." She pointed to a building and took a step toward it. "You know where I live, don't you?"
"I don't want no kiss."
"What's the matter now?" "You scared?" asked the hat. "Hey, Duke, you scared?" The wings leaned toward the center where Green Eyes hugged himself and made a face. "Look, Mr. Francisco, you made a deal."
"Yeah," said the wings.
"Now come along."
"I'm not scared," he shouted and stood up among them. He sat down. "I don't want no kiss."
"You're scared," she said.
"You scared chicken," said the hat. "Yeah," said the wings. "Hey, punk, fairy, hey, Duke chicken."
"Duke scared," mumbled Tito. Green Eyes stood up again. The shoulders below him separated. Tito leapt clear of the stoop and trotted into the street. Green Eyes passed through the place he had vacated and stood at her side, his head not so high as her shoulder. She nodded at him, tucked a bag up, and began walking toward her building. A few others stood up on the stoop and the hat started down. She turned. "Just him." Green Eyes shuffled after her. The hat stopped on the sidewalk. Someone pushed him forward. He resisted but called after them, "He's my cousin!" She walked on. The boy came slowly after her. They were yelling from the stoop, the hat yelling his special point, "He's my brother!" He stepped after them, and the others swarmed behind them down the stoop and onto the sidewalk. Tito jumped out of the street and ran alongside the hat. He yelled, "He's got the glove!" They all moved down the block, the wings trailing sluggishly, the youngest ones jostling, punching each other, laughing, shrieking things in Spanish after Green Eyes and the lady. She heard him a step behind her. "I give you the glove and take off." She put her hand out to the side a little. The smaller hand touched hers and took it. "You made a deal." She tugged him through the doorway into the tight square lobby. The hand snapped free and he swung by, twisting to face her as if he meant to blow. He put his back against the second door, crouched a little. His hands pressed the sides of his legs. The front door shut slowly, and the shadows deepened in the lobby. He crouched lower, his eyes level with her breasts, and she took a step toward him. The hat appeared, a black rock in the door window. Green Eyes saw it, straightened up, one hand moving quickly towards his pants pocket. The second and third head, thick dark bulbs, lifted beside the hat in the window, bodies piled against the door behind her. Green Eyes held up the glove. "Here, you lousy glove." She smiled and put out her hand. The hat screamed, "Hey, you made a deal, baby. Hey, you got no manners." "Don't be scared," she whispered, stepping closer. The glove lifted towards her and hung in the air between them, grey, languid as smoke. She took it and bent toward his face. "I won't kiss you. Run." The window went black behind her, the lobby solid in darkness, silent but for his breathing, the door breathing against the pressure of the bodies, and the scraping of fingers spread about them like rats in the walls. She felt his shoulder, touched the side of his neck, bent the last inch, and kissed him.
white light cut the walls, they tumbled behind it, screams and bright teeth, spinning to face them. She was struck, pitched against Green Eyes and the second door. He twisted hard, shoved away from her as the faces piled forward, popping eyes and lights, their fingers accumulating in the air, coming at her. She raised the bag, brought it down, swishing into the faces, and wrenched and twisted to get free of the fingers, screaming against their shrieks, "Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!" The bag splayed papers and coins, and the sunglasses flew over their heads and cracked against the brass mailboxes. She dropped amid shrieks, "Gimme a kiss! Gimme a kiss!" squirming down the door and onto her knees to get fingers out from under her, and she thrust up with the bag into bellies and thighs until a fist banged her mouth. She cursed, flailing at nothing. There was light in the lobby, and leather scraping on concrete as they crashed out the door into the street. She shut her eyes instantly as the fist came again, big as her face. Then she heard running in the street. The lobby was silent. The door shut slowly. The shadows deepened. She could feel the darkness getting thicker. She opened her eyes. Standing in front of her was the hat. He bowed slightly. "I get those guys for you. They got no manners." The hat shook amid the shadows, slowly, sadly. She pressed the smooth leather of her bag against the cheek where the mouths had kissed it. Then she tested the clasp, snapping it open and shut. The hat shifted his posture and waited. "You hit me," she whispered, and did not look up at him. The hat bent and picked up her keys and the papers. She handed the keys to her, then the papers, and bent again for the coins. She dropped the papers into her bag and stuffed them together at the bottom. "Help me up." She took his hands and got to her feet without looking at him. As she put the key against the lock of the second door, she began to shiver. The key rattled against the slot. "Help me." The hat leaned over the lock, his long, thin fingers squeezing the key. It caught, angled with a click. She pushed him aside. "You give me something? Hey, you give me something?" The door shut on his voice.